Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from the Writer's Well podcast. Conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Jay. It's the holiday season.
It is.
How are you feeling about it?
It's crazy. It's the first podcast episode I think I've released on Christmas. At least, I don't know. I haven't checked. Maybe.
I don't know if I have either, but I think it's pretty cool. I am agnostic and I don't celebrate it religiously, but I really, really love all the lights and the food and the family and the friendship and the fact that we put no importance on the holiday. Like I'll go over to my sister's house and see her for a bite. And then Sophie's going to come over and say hello on Christmas. What do you guys do?
Ever since we had our kids, we've always told our extended family, like, well, when they're little, like, this is for them. It's, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've stayed home on Christmas Day for the past 15, 17 years now. Although we'll go on the weekend and visit our extended family in Pittsburgh. It's only a 2-hour drive. But we just stay at home. And now it's nice because my kids are teenagers. And so they sleep in on Christmas. They don't make a big.
They're not leaping on your head at 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a nice, like, leisurely day off. We kind of hang out in our PJs and we drink coffee and chai, and it's just nice.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yes.
Good. I hope listeners, whether they celebrate or not, are enjoying the wrap up of a year, which is something I don't even know how I celebrate. I just really like the feeling of it. I really like when planners start to scroll as ads on my Instagram feed. Like, that feels good. Lights me up. You know, I love some planner porn. I really
like,
do.
Ooh, look at that weekly view. Yeah.
I could plan the shit out of that. Give me some stickers and some washi tape. And really, my planner is just like, it scribbles a pencil, a tiny notebook that doesn't matter. But yeah. But I like to imagine it. I like to imagine perfection.
Nice.
So what else is going on?
So yeah, that's kind of it. I don't mean to turn this into the Career Author podcast where we have weather small talk at the beginning of the show, but it's 57 degrees today in Cleveland, Ohio, which is
holy cow,
the warmest it's been in the Christmas season for years.
46 this morning when I woke up. Here.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
And you should see what Californians do in 46 degree weather. Like they're walking around like snowmen. Just we might freeze to death. Yeah. Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little different, but we'll take it. I'll take it. I'm sick of the cold, so I'm good with it.
Yeah. Nice. Update on Patreon. We have a new patron, Kim Barton. Thank you, Kim, so much for supporting
us. Kim's a patron
us.
Of the Career Author too. Thank you.
And she leaves us comments and she's just a member of the family. So welcome to the family, Kim. And if anybody would like to check us out, we're at the Writer's Well. Wait, we're at patreon.com/the Writer's Well. So thank you, everybody. And thank you. You know, this is a good time to have a lot of gratitude for the people who do support us. And
yes.
We appreciate it.
We do.
As always. What about comments? We had some good ones.
We did. Last week's episode, number 154. What has been the most challenging thing you've done professionally in the recent past? And this is Christopher. Tough question, but nothing as challenging as what we've been through. So thanks, Christopher. He says he's often bombarded with things he should or should not be doing. Should be marketing, not on Amazon. Try Facebook, not Facebook. So I think Christopher kind of tapped into some of the confusion around all the advice out there about what you're supposed to be doing and when.
Also, he said it shouldn't be too challenging writing a romance for his wife. And I said, oh my God, really? Get back to me on that one, sir. Because I find writing romance the most difficult genre in which to write. And Chris, if you find it easy, I'm gonna kill you. But I love you. So, and I think it's so romantic that he's gonna write a romance for his wife.
I know, that is nice.
Who he calls wifey.
Yes.
Lovely wifey. So adorable.
Jenny said, renovating a house in France, and when they had no money, no idea where the money was going to come from. That was challenging, but her best decision ever. So
I want to read that. I want to read that memoir.
So, yeah, you do.
Annie,
right?
You should write that for me.
Yep. Annie said over the years, she comes up with two strategies. Forgive herself if she can't get to things that she can't get done. and have a backup plan and so that she can manage when writing is too hard. So I think that's a great approach that she has there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kim wanted to say kudos for you to letting your silver hair shine.
Thanks, Kim.
Love that.
And let's talk about what she said too, because she's our newest patron. My biggest challenge with writing happened this week. I've begun to seriously question whether I even want to become a career author. I haven't published any novels yet, even though I have nearly 5 ready to go. Along with writing, I've been learning about the business side of being an author. Honestly, it's overwhelming. This week, I asked myself if being a career author is what I want, or do I want writing to simply be a hobby? I've wanted to be an author since I was 14. And this is the clincher sentence from her for me. I haven't ever wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge challenge. My advice to her, just real quickly, was to just publish and see how it feels. Because even if you haven't wanted to be an entrepreneur, maybe it'll feel great. And if it doesn't, then that's going to give you part of an answer, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I also want to apologize to both Kim and Maggie because I didn't see their comments. I didn't get the notification for these. This is the first time I saw both of those. But
I saw them.
Yeah. Very nice, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
No, I think what I would say to you, Kim, is that it's all right if you're asking that question of yourself.
Yeah, we all should be.
We all should be. And being a career author isn't for everyone. And some people need to have a hobby and it doesn't need to be that serious. And that's okay. And I'm not saying it's better or worse or that you should or shouldn't be, but it's totally fine if you're asking that question of yourself. And be patient. It might take you some time before you can answer that. And I think that's all okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is a challenge, but it's totally fine. And it's totally normal to be facing this challenge. So I'm really glad that you said that, Kim.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Maggie's comments since I haven't seen it yet.
Well, she made a big decision to tender resignation as a board member for a day job related organization, which got her some blowback, but she took on a bigger hat for RWA, or as I like to say, yay, RWA, Romance Writers of America. So she's doing the networking thing. So she's feeling better about saying no to things that she shouldn't be doing and yes to the things she should. So I think that's awesome.
That is. That's great.
Yeah. Should we tell them about our new Patreon level, which I forgot to even bring up last week?
I guess we should, huh?
So we also took a step back from the coaching, which we were doing at the $100 level, which was kind of like a mastermind coaching group for people at the $100 level. We had a couple patrons at that level, and we took a step back because we are trying to take our time back and do the writing and do what we need to do. But we left the $100 a month patron level there. We're not sure if anybody is ever going to take us up on this, but we will put it out there. If you pledge at $100 a month, on every episode, we will announce your name, your book title of any book you choose, probably just one, and we will give you a compliment. Might be a strange compliment, but it'll be a compliment. So basically,
every single episode, right?
Every single episode, as long as they pledge. So if they want to do just 1 month, they get 4 announcements or whatever like that. So I think it'll be fun to make up the compliment. You're a radiant unicorn standing in a field. Yeah.
Well, you should be a writer.
I've heard that. Well, I'm so excited about our holiday question. And is this health related? Yes,
it is. It's perfectly timed because the health topic is relationships, and this is Christmas, and this is a place I think we have not really gone into before as far as conversation goes, and it all started about a month ago with a conversation I was having with my wife, which is where idea for this came up. So. It's
I
like
love you and the wife stories.
Everything aligned to fit in here. We're like, I think it's going to be the perfect question. So
I cannot wait.
I guess the question I have to ask you before I ask you the question is, do you want me to tell the story first or do you want me to ask the question first?
I want you to tell the story first. I don't even know the story, but
okay.
Do you think that'll work in that order?
I think it'll work.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the story of where the question came from.
Okay, perfect.
And I know you'll appreciate this because I know this is not a conversation you've ever had.
You're so giggly about it.
I know,
it
this is good.
I can't wait.
it's dark. Like, I don't know. Some people might find this like,
better.
Yeah, I hope people will find this offensive, but this is a conversation I know other couples have had who are men and women. And there was a commercial that came on, and you know, I'm 48, I'm going to be 49, and my wife is 51, and we are far beyond our child rearing years.
This is going to sex.
Well, sort of. Okay. And we were, but biologically we still have capabilities. Maybe me more so than her, right?
Right.
And so I said,
I would say definitely you more.
Definitely
than
me
her.
More than her. Yeah. And I said, you know, there's one way we could like really just close this chapter of our life for sure if I went and got a certain procedure.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, oh, you mean a vasectomy? I'm like, exactly. Like if that would solve it. All right. Now she's like, but what if me and the kids die horribly? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, back up. What's that have to do with the vasectomy? And she's like, well, what if you want to start another family? And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Joy, I love you more than life itself. But if you guys were gone, the last thing I would do is be like, all right, time to start another family. Got to replace them.
I'd like to change some more diapers.
Oh my God. I was like, I will never, never raise a kid again. I said, I don't regret it. I love my children, but like, I am never doing that again. And I hear about people with, you know, infants or toddlers, or I'm like, ugh, I shudder. I'm like, oh my God, I'd throw myself off a bridge. So
tell me how you really feel.
Oh my God. So like, and this is the conversation. She's like, well, but like, what, you know, well, but if you did that, like then and something happened to us, and I'm like, all right, I said, here's the other thing. And I'm like, Joy, this is going to be a compliment to you, but hear me out here. I was like, if anything ever happened to you, or if for whatever reason we split, you would be the last woman I was ever with. I was like, don't take it the wrong way, but like, as I'm approaching 50, I do not like, I'm done with women. Like, I'm done with relationships. Like, I love you. I'll stick it out with you until we're gone. But like,
I think that's a lovely compliment.
But I'm like, if you go before me, I'm a monk. Like, that's it. I'm done. Oh. I am not like, I just see like what's out there with like the swiping and
the Tinder.
My God. And I'm like, and I told her, and it's just kind of how I'm wired. Like, and I've told this story before. Like, I knew the moment I saw her, like she was it, and I was going to marry her.
You're going to marry her.
And that was it. Yeah. And it's always been that way. And I've never had a second thought about that. Never looked a second way at anyone else. But like, I told her, but I'm like, you're it. If you go, I'm done. I am out of the game forever.
Okay. There's so many beautiful things about these things. And I know you have a question in there somewhere. I don't know where.
You had to hear the story first. That's
but
where.
No, it's so lovely. And I love that. I mean, she is generous enough of spirit, because there are a lot of people who I think it's stupid, but they're like, you must never date again, you know. But she's saying, yes, you could go have some babies.
Yeah, you could go make babies with someone else. I'm like, no.
And in return, you meet her with, no, you're the one.
Yeah.
I think that's so romantic. So what is the question there?
Okay.
So, that is pretty dark too.
So the question is, what would life be like without your significant other?
Oh my God, you just took my breath away.
Oh,
I'm so glad that that she can't hear me right now. It would be a nightmare. It would be the blackest, darkest, coldest, anything. Like, because I have a morbid mind, and I think we are writers and we have morbid minds. And sometimes I imagine her not being there, like, I don't know if I've ever said this on the air or anywhere, but before I met her, I would sleep with people, you know, have sex and then sleep together, and you sleep in the bed. And I would spend all night trying not to be touched. I would like run off one end of the bed and then get in the other side of the bed and wait for the person to like try to swoon me off the bed. And I would just never pick a side. And I hated to sleep with people. I liked my room. I liked my space. I liked not being touched. And ever since we've been together for the last 15 years, we sleep like spoons, just absolutely pressed every inch against each other. And it is the most wonderful thing. And it was from the very first night we ever like spooned up against each other. Both of us marveled for like half an hour, like, how we just fit. We fit. There's no part of us that is elbows or like arm too long or leg too short or something like that. It's just, we've always, always fit. And oh my gosh, I'm finding myself very emotional about this.
Oh, good.
she's my favorite person. She is the person that I want to come home to every day. There's this moment that Sophie actually always teases me about because she heard me say this. One night I went I went in the bathroom, and she likes to take hot baths and read in the tub. And she was in the tub, naked, obviously. There's no water in the tub, and she's wearing two pairs of glasses and reading. And I'm like, I think this is back when I was taking Ambien too. So I walk in the bathroom, like, I think I'm tripping because it looks like you're in an empty tub naked with two pairs of glasses. And I think that's adorable. I thought it was the most adorable thing. She had like gotten overheated and the water flowed out and she was just sitting cooling off, and she had forgotten to wear the right glasses. Oh. So she like doubled up, and I thought it was like this, the cutest, sexiest, sweetest thing. And I told Sophie, and Sophie's like, you know, that's love. That's looking at somebody with love when you see that. And she's the funniest person I know. She is the most emotionally supportive person I have ever met. She knows how to sit with pain when a person is in grief and just be there with no expectations, nothing to do but just be next to you. And in fact, when my friend Julie lost her son a few years ago, Julie and Lala have always known each other, but they haven't been close. But Julie really, really loved having Lala in the room when we were doing things, just because Lala would just look at her and there was nothing that Julie had to do or be through that grief. She's just got that knowledge. She's also the best sex I've ever had. And I was kind of a whore. So but I can't imagine living this particular life without her. And I do this testing thing in my head. And if she listens to the podcast, she I don't know if she even knows this, but every few years I like to kind of think to myself, should we still be together? Does this make sense? Emotionally, probably emotionally is the only way I'm really thinking about it. And every time I think about it, I come to this answer of, oh my God, yes, no one else. This is who I want. And sometimes I kind of half-ass ask her too, you know, do you still want to be with me? Do you, and we have this kind of shorthand of like, do you want to get married again? Will you marry me? Because we got married four times as it was varying shades of right. legal yeah. all over. We got married in Canada and here. Only three times, but it was a lot. And I would just marry her again anytime. I've kept my wedding dress, still fits. If I have to marry her again, I will. If I would want to, and not in a cheesy like 25-year renewal of vows. I just love being with her. She's my person.
Oh, that's so nice.
Tell me about you. What would it be like if Joy weren't there?
It wouldn't be my life. It wouldn't be the same. You know, I know, like I've said some things in the podcast about how like she never reads any of my stuff and she's just not interested in that. And Zach always teases me. He's like, so does Joy know where you're going to be this weekend? Like when we do world building events, he's like, does she know you're in Seattle this week? But like, I think, like joking aside, the reason it's so comfortable for me that way is because we've always just had this unspoken bond, and I don't feel pressure to say anything to her at any point. We can sit in a room together silently on opposite ends of a couch and just be with one another. And there's no expectation, and nothing. And I don't know. It's always been like that. And I knew, like I said, I knew from the moment I saw her that she was my soulmate, and there was no question about it. And there's never been a doubtful moment. And, you know, I love women, and I find women attractive. And, there was
me too.
Yeah. You too. How about that? Right. And there was one woman who I worked with about 10 years ago who was really attractive. And I remember one of my coworkers kind of like give me one of those like shoulder nudges, like, oh, I see you guys are pairing up. And I'm like, not even a second thought, like just not like I knew what he meant, but like, and I think it what it also brought home to me and has since is that I don't think many, I don't know, I shouldn't say this, I don't know, but I don't observe many relationships that are like ours, the ones we have with our spouses.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I see a lot of bean counting between couples, like, well, I'm doing this, so then she'll get to do that. And I was out this night, so she gets that night, or infidelity, or emotional cheating, or financial infidelity, or like you name it. There's any number of dysfunctional relationship issues that I have seen over the years, and we just don't have them. We just never have.
The difference, I think, is because I see all of those too, but the difference I hear in yours and mine, and hopefully other, you know, listeners have this too, is that we genuinely like our partners.
Yeah.
Like, I don't just love her.
Yeah.
I really fucking like her.
Yeah.
And she's the one I want to tell things to and to get her take on.
Yes.
And again, just like going to bed, I don't know what it is about this spooning, but I can finally relax when she's there. It's like my ultimate relaxation when we are together, and it feels almost like this animal burrow, you know, and I like rabbits in a den or something like that. We've got the dogs in there, we're cuddling, and it's safety and happiness. And sometimes, like, you know, I'm in California, I picture the big one. I would want to go in the big one, you know, with our arms around each other.
Yeah. Nice. So I want to go, hearing my wife laugh, because that's one of my favorite things, is I love trying to make her laugh. And that's, even as like a young man, when I was in my 20s, like, there was nothing sexier than getting her to laugh. Like, that was just,
She laugh at all your jokes, or does she roll her eyes? Because I tend to roll my eyes a lot of Lala's jokes, even though she's funny. I do the wife like, oh.
I have to work really hard now to get a laugh, because we've been together for a while, you know, decades. But like, so she does roll her eyes a lot. But and there's a middle ground now. So it used to be like roll her eyes or like laugh. And now the middle ground is, you're such an asshole, which I love. I love when she calls me an asshole.
That's so funny. Yeah, my response is to roll my eyes, but inside it's just funny as hell. Yeah. You know? This is such a lovely, lovely, lovely topic.
I know. I mean, it's not necessarily writing related, but, you know, in talking about wellness and relationships and having this be on Christmas Day, and we really haven't talked about our marriages before, like in great detail. It just felt like a good right thing to do.
I think that's beautiful. And I couldn't do this life without her. I'm not even talking about the financial arrangement. I'm talking about the emotional and space that she gives me to be a freaking artist. Like, that's crazy. Like, if Joy was a different person, she would have said, you can't leave your job.
Right.
Fuck you. You can't.
Never
You're
once.
Never going to leave.
I mean, she's never read any of my stuff, but she never once said, are you sure? Or how are we going to pay the mortgage? Or what about the electric? Not a single nothing. Just like, do it.
Whenever I would say, do you think I should quit? And I said this for years and years before I quit. She would always say, yes, do it now. Go quit. Do it now. And I would say, how? I don't understand. Just do it. We'll get this. I'm so glad that my wife is at home today, because she's on vacation. I'm going to go smooch on her.
Oh, that's nice.
Is Joy home, or is she?
No,
home?
She's working.
Oh, you got to smooch her when
I will.
Home. And maybe she'll listen to this episode.
I doubt it. She'll just call me an asshole. I'm like, no, I'm not listening to that.
Thank you for such a delightful question.
Well, thanks for being up for answering it. I didn't tell you the question, but I did have to kind of check ahead of time to make sure you were open to discussing your marriage. So I'm glad that you were.
And I moved Lala off the couch where she was, and she would have heard every word. And then I would not have been able to talk as openly.
Yeah.
So what are we going to ask our listeners? The same thing?
I hope they have a significant other that they can talk about.
They can imagine being without?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the question? What would life be like without them?
Yes.
Oh, and I just want to take this moment to wish that our listeners either do have that relationship if they want one, if they're happily single, go you, or will have that kind of like/love relationship in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. And I also do want to support the singles because there are singles out there who are diehard singles and I love them too.
Yep. And a significant other could be a best friend. It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship.
Yes. The person in your life you can't imagine the world without.
Yes.
I want to hear about that. And I want to hear whys and hows and stories. Oh, please. Oh, yay. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. I hope we have a nice big Christmas celebration of comments over there. And happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all that to everybody.
All of that. And we're over at thewriterswell.org. So come leave us a comment. Even if you never have before, I want to hear these. Okay. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.